Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, if you've been here a while, thank you for that too. And if you just got here, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget, when you get there, to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email and gets you going for the week ahead. And this week's feature article is all about the Confessions of a Reluctant Scrooge. And next week is going to be a recap of my 2004 predictions and how they turned out. And then the week after that is going to be my 2005 predictions. The things that and by the way, folks, in case those of you who are sort of rolling your eyes at my predictions, I'm running about 75% to 80% correct. So it might be something you want to pay attention to. One of the things I predicted was that Brad Huskin's book, Munchies for Salespeople, would be a great success, and I know I was right about that. Brad is one of our top salesmanship experts, not only in our brain trust but in the world. He's our good friend. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you, and happy holidays to all of you.
Yeah, happy holidays to you. And I was right about my prediction, wasn't I?
You were absolutely right, because you know why?
Why?
You're one of the smartest guys on the radio.
What exactly? What do you mean on the radio?
Oh, it's one of the smartest guys in the world.
In the universe.
In the universe.
Yes, yes, you got to get this right here.
Absolutely.
Hey, I know you want to talk today about some New Year's resolutions for salespeople. Let's get those started.
Okay, well, let's talk about New Year's resolutions for sales managers first, because I think that the sales manager really sets the tone for
it. It rolls downhill, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, doesn't it? And resolution number one is I will set goals and constantly work to improve the productivity of my people.
All right. That's easy to say. It's hard to do.
It is. It's very easy to say. And that's one of the things that... unfortunately, is the first thing to go away when sales get a little bit tough is the working with the sales staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one thing that cannot go away, because those are the people that actually put the money into the bank for you. So we got to work to constantly improve their productivity on an ongoing basis, and understand that everybody learns by different rates and speeds, and you got to be susceptible to those kinds of changes and to working with people on their level and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an important point to remember that... when it comes to goals as well, that people, I think goals are what move people, and I think that if people don't have a goal, they're just meandering out in space.
Do you think that one of the reasons why companies aren't successful is because they don't, especially small businesses, they don't establish these goals, and that these goals, it seems to me that they don't know how, they don't really understand the importance of taking the overall goal for the company for next year and dividing it up into, you know, sort of territories or whatever, however you're going to divide it up, you know, six salespeople and the inside people in the online effort, and, you know, dividing it up that way and giving everybody their piece of the pie. I think a lot of small businesses don't even do that. But even if they do, Brad, I think one of the reasons why people aren't as successful as they could be is they don't know how to circle back with their people and help them accomplish those goals.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's amazing that, you know, this may sound a little bit cold and crass, but I don't mean it to be. But the only thing a business owner or a sales manager has in common with all of their people, the one thing that I know for sure, is that they all work at the same place and they're all trying to accomplish the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in too many cases, the people don't know what that one thing is that they're trying to accomplish. I go into business after business after business and say, you know, what are you trying to hit today? Or what's the goal for the week? What's the goal for the month? What's the goal for the year?
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing towards your goals? And unfortunately, not many people can give me the answer because nobody's discussed it with them, and it's not the central focus of the organization. And if we can make goals the central focus, I think that overall everybody's going to be more successful because
Absolutely.
Everybody's trying to achieve the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's another resolution?
Number two is I will strive to give my people help, not hell, through devoting time to each individual. Give them help, not hell. In other words, you know what I mean by
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, I sure do.
And
well, that's the difference between being a leader and a driver.
It really is, isn't it?
And you know, the 21st century, drivers aren't going to be successful, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I think leaders are going to be the way of the future.
Well, I think it's important, especially important for your audience, in that many corporations are run by policy.
Right.
But I think that small businesses have to be run through productivity and through people.
Absolutely. Well said, Brad. Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, quick break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Brad Huskin is our guest. He's the author of Munchies for Salespeople and the other one that's a classic, folks. I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Brad, tell us where we can find your books.
Well, those are both on my website at www.iastraining.com. And I've also got a free newsletter, as you know, called Sales Insight that people can sign up for on the website.
All right.
And that's a weekly newsletter that comes via fax or email.
It's a good one, too, folks. I encourage you to check it out. And thank you for making that available to my audience, Brad.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're talking about some resolutions, and we're focusing right now for maybe another couple of minutes on sales management.
Okay. Well, let's run through. I've got top 10. So number three would be I will manage based on objective information rather than subjective information.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's the downfall of many companies is they run their business based on opinions rather than based on facts, and
right.
they don't have the numbers to support the facts. So.
A friend of mine years ago said, I worship at the throne of results.
Absolutely.
And if you focus on that, then you'll come across as a lot more solid leader and a lot more professional, and your people won't be confused about what you want, will they?
Exactly. I had a guy ask me the other day what I thought about his advertisement that he was running, and I said, "Did it bring anybody in?"
He wanted you to know if you thought it was pretty, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't care if it's pretty. I just want effective.
Did it work?
Exactly.
All right. What's next?
Number four, I'll become a better listener, communicator, and motivator. It's kind of a heavy statement, but you got to listen, you got to talk, you got to motivate, and get people to do what they want to do in order to achieve the things that they want to achieve in their life. And you know, I've always said you can't motivate somebody to do something they don't want to do. So
yep.
You just got to know them well enough to know what's going to motivate them.
You know, there's a big difference between wanting to be a leader and getting people to follow you.
Exactly.
Two different things altogether, like the difference between lightning and lightning bug.
That's right.
All right, what's next?
I will conduct weekly sales training meetings and focus on sales techniques, product knowledge, operations, and customer service.
Weekly?
Weekly.
Wow.
Can you imagine talking to your people every week?
Wow. Who would have thought that, right?
I don't know. It's a stretch, but...
and some people have salespeople who are out. You know, they're not even in the same state or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do it by phone.
Absolutely. The phone is a wonderful tool.
But you at least need to get face-to-face once a month, I think.
I think face-to-face is essential once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And on the weekly basis, what I'm trying to say is just communicate on a weekly basis with people, because if there's problems or situations, you don't want to wait a month and let those things go unresolved.
And if you're always in the same building and you're seeing each other all the time, having these little meetings and going down the hall is not the same thing. That's not what you're talking about, is it?
No. I
setting
aside time.
If you're in
the same building, I recommend that you have a morning huddle every morning. And huddle is just 2-3 minutes talking about what's going on for
right.
the day and what people are doing and those kinds of things.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a formal weekly
right.
Meeting of some type. Whether
Will you sit down one-on-one with each person maybe, or could you have it with a group?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number six, listen in on sales presentations.
Yeah.
Which
travel with your folks.
Travel with them, sit next to them, be there for them. And it's frightening to me what I hear some people saying, because I just know the owner of the business doesn't know those words are being said,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I do.
Number seven is a major issue, and that is I will make training a process rather than an event. And as you know,
it's a way of life, not a means to an end, isn't it?
Exactly. And training can't be an event that we do once every 6 months or once every year. It has to be an ongoing process.
And, of course, you'd say probably, Brad, that of all the things that companies could spend money on, nothing's more important than training, wouldn't you?
I would probably say that adamantly.
being the professional trainer that you are.
Exactly. And being that I have all those sales training tools available on my website. Not that I'm trying to sell them.
No, you would never do anything like that. No,
absolutely not. I'm just a salesman, not a PhD. So.
That was a good one.
Oh, thanks. See, I segued that.
Yeah, you're the king of segue.
Uh-huh. Number eight, I will create an environment of personal growth and development. And I have always believed that no matter what business you're in, if you can create an environment of personal growth and development, whether you'll be successful, whether you're selling refrigerator magnets or space shuttles or landscaping services or real estate, I think that the number one thing people want out of their professions is the ability to be and or feel successful.
There are two ways to think about people who work for you. And one is that they are employees and to get what you need out of them and to pay them, you know, whatever you can pay them. And the other way is to think of them as people who want to be successful. And if you help them to be successful, then all that success in the aggregate with all your employees will accrue directly to you.
Exactly. And I like to look at employees, or as my salespeople, as the most valuable asset of my company.
Yep.
And too often they're just looked at as somebody that can be replaced tomorrow, and we really can't.
We've got to figure out how to help our people. You know, that one of the things I think, Brad, is that instead of saying, okay, what can my company do to make me successful, we should be saying, what can I do to make my people be successful?
Weren't those the great words of John F. Kennedy or something?
It may have been, something like that. Who knows?
He may have gotten it from you.
I was stealing it from somebody, but I didn't know who. but seriously, if you can think about, you know, how important it is to, I mean, think about this. If your people are feeling fulfilled, if they're feeling like they're successful, you know, you can't run those people off.
No, you really can't, and it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, mm-hmm. You know, how if you pull up to a store and there's nobody in there, that store is always dead. But if you pull up to a store and there's lots of action going on, lots of cars out in the parking lot, it turns into a buying frenzy.
Right.
And the same thing with the people. If they're happy and working and successful and accomplishing goals and know what's there is expected, it's like a buying frenzy going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Stand by, Brad. Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen. He and I will be back after these messages. It's 10 till. Don't go away. And you ain't had enough to eat. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. And I'm glad to tell you that Brad Huskin is still here. And he's got more to tell us about some top resolutions, some New Year's resolutions for sales management. And you're going to come back in a couple of 3 weeks or so, Brad, and we're going to do the same thing for salespeople, aren't we?
Yeah, we sure will. We just didn't have time in half an hour to cover all these things. So,
right. Well, let's get back into the – by the way, give us your website one more time.
The website is www.iastraining.com.
And don't forget, folks, you can find out a lot of free stuff there, a lot of articles, and you can subscribe to his weekly newsletter, which I encourage you to do. It's really good. I'm a subscriber myself. Also, the books, I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and Munchies for Salespeople. You need both of them. Will you give them a discount if they ask for both of them, Brad?
Well, any small business advocate listener always gets a 20% discount.
All right. Well, you folks, be sure to mention that, and I promise you, they won't hang up on you if you tell them you know me. All right, Brad, let's get back into our resolutions.
All right, number nine. This is the heaviest one. I will adhere to my responsibilities of providing leadership, knowledge, training, incentives, and consequences in order to recruit, hire, develop, and maintain successful salespeople.
Well, now, isn't there a law that a resolution can only be like 20 words or something?
I don't think so, but this was 18, so I fit into that category. So.
Read that again.
I will
paraphrase it for us.
Well, I believe that The responsibilities of a sales manager are to provide leadership, knowledge, training, incentives, and consequences.
Consequences?
And, well, those can be positive and or negative.
Right, right.
A consequence can be...
The carrot or the stick.
Exactly. And the leadership thing, if we were to have time, we could spend a half an hour on just leadership. Mm-hmm. What is that? Leading by example, setting the pace, being a good communicator, good motivator, having a vision toward the future, you know, all those things. And
you know what? You know, Brad, one of the things I'm getting out of this, and that's helping me to remember some things, and that I hope my audience is getting out of this, and that is that if you are a sales manager, folks, if you need a sales manager, if you're hiring a sales manager, there's a lot of work to being a sales manager. I mean, as a professional sales manager, there are a lot of things to do. And if you are at the stage where you need a sales manager, you need somebody who can do this professionally. And Brad, that means that they don't have a territory of their own.
No, it's absolutely
see, that's,
not.
See, that's the big mistake small business owners make that I've seen in my career, Brad, is they make a sales manager take at least part of a territory. And if they do, if you're at the level where you've got enough salespeople that you need a sales manager, you can't let them have a territory. Their territory is all the territories.
Well, and with many small businesses as well, I think that sometimes the owner, one of the hats they wear is the sales manager, along with the marketing manager, the operations director, the shipping guy. And even if you just have one salesperson, when you're wearing your sales manager's hat, you have to be able to provide them with all the tools that they need. And one of the things that just drives me crazy is at the public seminars I do, I always ask how many of you can name the last 10 books that you read on salesmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a plug for the books. It's just a plug to get the knowledge and the training and the information that they need. And it's amazing how many sales managers haven't read even two or three books on salesmanship or customer service or mm-hmm. sales management skills, so they don't have the knowledge to pass on to their employees.
It's probably the person that was the best salesman that they made into a sales manager.
Yeah, they put the sword over his shoulders and said, congratulations, you're a top salesman, now you're the sales manager, and
right.
They leave him out there with no help.
Which may be the worst thing that they could have done.
You know,
usually
like
the best salespeople don't make good sales managers.
Well, with training, I think that people can be a good sales manager. I think too often they try to do everything by themselves, and they mm-hmm. just can't. They have to be good at delegating responsibilities. So,
all right. What number was that?
That was number 9. We got one more.
All right.
And that is just provide positive reinforcement at least 10-1 over the negative. It's like the, I don't know how to say this other than bitching grandmother syndrome.
Well, now, and grandmothers, please send all your cards and letters to Brad Huskin at iustrending.com. Brad, Ken Blanchard calls it catching people doing something right.
Absolutely. 10-1 over doing something wrong. Because
right.
if it's always wrong, then over time, and that's what I mean about the grandmother thing. My grandmother, nothing we did as kids was ever right. It was always wrong. And over time, we just didn't listen to her. It was just grandma barking. So that's why I call it the grandmother syndrome.
But, hey, thanks, Brad, for being here. Hope you have a
you
great
bet.
Holiday.
You too.
We'll see you again real soon. Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't do without him, and we won't. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today to be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.